The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
So I got to start out today with a story. I realized this. I'm a story guy. Like everything in life revolves around stories, and like that's how I kind of relate to things. And it was interesting because this story actually happened last week. So I told you that like Kelsey and I have our time, and our time is like usually late at night. I know I'm not an early morning person. I'm a late night person, but like our time is usually late at night, and usually we sit in the living room, and that's kind of just our, hey, listen, we've got to decompress. We don't really want to go to bed because the sooner we go to bed, we wake up and the day starts over again tomorrow. And like, I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. And so we were sitting and Saturday nights is usually different for us too, because I'm usually looking over like this morning and she's looking over Sunday school. And so Saturday nights is kind of a different night because we have our time, but we're both doing something. We're both busy. Well, last Saturday night, we were sitting in the living room, and I'm deaf in one ear, just like, still, like, it's almost better, but like, man, last week, I couldn't hear anything on this whole side of my face, was like nothing. And so we're sitting in the living room, and I'm sitting there, and I'm reading my stuff, and she's sitting there reading her stuff, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Kelsey jumps about 6 feet in the air. Now, she's only like 4'2", so like, 6 feet for her is a big jump. And she comes unglued out of her seat, jumps, and I have no clue what happened. I don't know if there's, like, she saw a mouse or like a rat or like, I don't know. So I'm freaking out. I jump up. I'm worried. And I look over, and behind Kelsey, I see Nora's little head peeking up over the couch. It's like 12 o'clock at night. She should be in bed. But she had come in, and she snuck all the way in the room. And apparently she said boo to Kelsey and scared the mess out of Kelsey. I never heard boo. I just saw Kelsey's reaction to Nora being there. But it got me thinking about this story we're in today, because the story we're in today is a point where a woman sneaks up on Jesus. Now, before we get into this story, I just want, like, I would love to hear your thoughts on that at some point in time. Again, my emails in the bulletin, if you have thoughts on this, can you sneak up on Jesus? Like, this is the guy who knows the person's going to betray. He knows people's thoughts. And yet we're given this story of this woman who sneaks up on Jesus. And so at some point in time throughout your week, as you have loads of free time and everything like that, send me an email just with your thoughts. I think this is what happened. I think this is how she snuck up, or she didn't sneak up, or whatever. I would love to hear from you your thoughts about this story and this woman. Now, all right, that kind of sets the stage. The other thing I love about this story is where it happens. It happens in Mark chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles or if you have your notes or whatever you've got, we're in Mark chapter 5 today. This takes place on the heels of one of my favorite stories. My favorite story, one of my favorite stories is the demon-possessed man who gets healed right before this in Mark chapter 5. Love that story. And then right after that, you see Jesus, he goes across the lake. Peter walks on water, all that super cool stuff. And then he goes across, actually no, he calms the storm. He calms the sea in that one. Calms the sea, gets the other side, heals the demon-possessed man, comes back across the lake. He gets back across the lake, and he's met by this guy named Jairus. Jairus comes to him, and he says, hey, listen, my daughter is sick, and she's dying. I need you to come and heal her. Now, if you're reading that, and I'm reading that, to me, Jairus isn't, all hope's not lost. You know what I mean? Like, when I read this passage, Mark chapter 5, verse 23, there's this bit of hope, like all is lost, right? It doesn't say his daughter's dead. It doesn't say his daughter is like, you know, it doesn't even tell what's wrong with her. It just says that she's sick. She's not doing good. But Jairus knows where to go, and so he comes to the right place. He comes to Jesus to have Jesus come and heal him. Jairus was a synagogue leader, which is, again, interesting because they were at odds with Jesus, probably wouldn't have been on good terms, but he recognizes enough about Jesus to come to Jesus and ask him to heal his daughter. As the story starts, we see somebody who, again, all hope is not lost. There's this fragment, there's this part of hope in Jairus' life. He knows enough to know that this is the right person, that this is the guy I need to go to. We know his daughter is sick. and she needs to be healed. But all is not lost. This is some of you this morning. You're here, and all is not lost. You're hanging on to fragments of life. You're hanging on to pieces of life. You're hanging on to everything you can with all the strength you have. You're at the right spot. You know what God can do, but it's exhausting and it's tiring. I put myself in Jairus' situation in like anybody else's sickness just like run rampant at your house like over the past couple weeks. Oh my gosh, one person gets it, the next person gets it. Like, I went the other day and I think I got a grocery cart from Walmart full of sanitizer spray. I said, listen, mask up, kid, because we're just going to spray the whole house. Like, it's smoke just bellowed out. That was last night when I was burning stuff. But we sanitized everything. And it was interesting because, like, as a parent, when your kid's sick, it's exhausting, isn't it? Well, anybody want to tell me why it's exhausting? Because they're needy. Thank you for the honesty. Yes, because they're needy. They don't sleep good. Nothing's normal. There's no routine. Everything's different. And I thought about this guy, Jairus, and I was like, man, his daughter's sick, and he's probably exhausted. He knows the right spot to go. He knows what to do. He knows all those things, but he's probably beat. But when he comes, the blank here is all is not lost. Jairus knows that all is not lost. He's come into the right spot with the right intentions, and he knows what Jesus can do. And so while he's holding on and it's taking all the strength, all the energy, all the effort he has just to get to this spot, he's at the right spot and he's in a good place. Some of you this morning, that's you. It's taken everything you've got. You're exhausted. You're tired, but you're at the right spot. And I'm begging you to hang on a little longer because God's got some really amazing things in store for you. Just keep hanging on. The second person in this story we find is another lady in verses 25 through 26. For her, all is lost. You read and it says this about her. And there was a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. For this person, all was lost. There was no hope. There was nothing they could do. Again, as you take this and you read this passage, it's so interesting. I'm not great, but I think the point of going to a doctor, Mandy, help me out here. You're supposed to get better, right? That's like kind of the why people go to doctors. And like this woman had gone to the doctor for 12 years, not gotten any better. Not just that. Read that again. She had suffered a great deal under the care of these doctors. Whatever the process was, whatever was going on that they were doing to try to stop this woman's issue was not pleasant. It wasn't like she went and she got a like nice cool Band-Aid sticker and gave her a high five and a sucker and a lollipop and sent her out the door. Whatever the process was for this woman was grueling. It was exhausting. It was painful. It was bitter. It hurt. Every ounce of this woman was broken and just destroyed. Not just that from the doctors, but it says that she had spent all she had. In other words, it was an investment of time. It was an investment of money. Everything she had was in the process of trying to get better, and nothing worked. And not only did nothing get better, Scripture actually tells you it got worse. Now, if there's somebody who all is lost, the lost cause of this story, it's got to be this woman. And that's some of us this morning, isn't it? Man, you've tried and you've tried and you've tried. You've spent everything you have. You've given all your resources. You've given all your energy. You've given all your effort. You've given everything you have. You've suffered greatly under the trials and tribulations of the past 3, 5, 6, 9 years, months, whatever it is. And when you walked in the door this morning, you were like, gosh, things literally cannot get any worse. Maybe not physically, but maybe emotionally, maybe spiritually, maybe mentally, maybe it is physically for you. Whatever the case is, you feel like you're at this spot in life where all is lost and you're just, done. And things don't get better. In fact, things are slowly, steadily getting worse. A couple other things about this lady, as I started thinking about this. If, and we're going to get into this in just a little bit, this woman would have been considered unclean, right? Unclean means that she was not to be touched by other people. We're going to get into that in just a second. Anybody, how many of you remember COVID? That thing? It was, yeah, okay. Some vaguely rings a bell. Anybody remember how you couldn't touch people during COVID? That was really tough for me. Now, I'm a high fiver. I love high fives. Like, she got mad at me when we first got together because I wouldn't kiss her. I would only high five her at the end of the night. And finally, after like 2 years, she's like, you got to kiss me. And I was like, all right, fine. Make them want it. But like, how many of you remember when this was, you couldn't do this. Couldn't do that. Anybody ever feel isolated and lonely during that time? Like, I remember being at church, and at church when you're supposed to shake hands, you're supposed to hug people, you're supposed to high five. One of my best friends, his dad passed away because of COVID. And I remember he asked me to do his dad's funeral, and I remember doing his dad's funeral. And I remember knowing his whole family had COVID. And it was so tough. Because I wanted just to go to my friend, and I wanted to hug him, and I wanted to say, hey dude, I know this is terrible, but it's going to be all right. And I felt like I couldn't hug him. Like, I couldn't touch him because there was this thing going around that you weren't supposed to touch each other with. I think about this lady. For 12 years, the only touch she has experienced has been at the hands of doctors and healers who have not done anything for her except cause her pain. She's not experienced human touch in a good way in 12 years because she was unclean. Man, that got me this week. Because I'm unclean. There are parts of my life that are not clean. And so what I do, and what other people have done to me, and what I've done to other people, is I've boxed them out, I've pushed them away, and I've said, no, listen, either I'm unclean or you're unclean. We can't touch each other. We can't be close to each other. And I've put up walls, and I've put up barriers, and I've isolated and pushed people away, and all that because of this idea of being clean. So that's this woman. She's a lost cause. Everything's been lost to her. Something else that struck me about this story as I was reading it is the crowd. Five different times in this story, five different times in 10 verses, Mark points out that there was a crowd. Sometimes the crowd becomes a distraction, doesn't it? Y'all know what I mean by that? Like, anybody ever been in a crowd where you can't help but touch people? Like, I don't know, like, anybody like that? Drives me nuts. I get, like, claustrophobic, T-Rex arms, don't like it. But, like, that's kind of the crowd that five different times Mark describes here. He says, listen, the crowd was so great. The crowd was so great back in Mark chapter 3 that Jesus got on a boat and taught from a boat because the people were pressing against him so bad. That's why he went over to the other side. Then he comes back and he's greeted. And as he steps off the boat on the other side, people just come and the crowd presses against him and they press around him. And the crowd is just overwhelming everything about him. And it got me thinking that sometimes in our life, the crowd becomes a distraction. When the disciples, after what happens here, and you guys know the story, but Jesus asked the question of who touched me. The disciples say, what do you mean who touched you? Look around, man. In this crowd, somebody's bound to be touching you, Jesus. It's going to happen. Sometimes with everything that goes on in life, it seems impossible to not feel the impact of the world around us. How many of you guys have ever had this thought? Because I don't know if you know this or not, but the economic trajectory of our country hasn't been so great over the past couple years. I'll just leave it at that. Anybody felt the impact of that? Okay. How many of you have had this thought? God, if you would fix our economy, I could be more blank. I could be more generous. I could be more giving. I could be more understanding. I could do better, God. I wouldn't have to deal with the stresses that I have to deal with if you would just fix our economy, God. And what is so interesting is that the world around us, that's going on. But we let it impact. We let it distract what God's doing to us. Sometimes the crowd becomes distracting and we focus on the crowd and we don't listen to what God has to say. Now, I'm going to kind of catch you up in this story. So this woman who has this issue for 12 years, she thinks to herself, if I can only touch the hem of this holy man's garment, if I can only touch the hem of his robe, if I can just get close enough to him that I can touch him, I'll be healed, because she's heard all the good things that Jesus has done. She's heard about it throughout all the land. This is just the story of him has grown and grown and grown, and how he's healed people, how he's made lame people walk. He's caused blind people to see. He's done all these great miracles. And so her idea is, if I can just touch him, I can be healed too. Now, interesting, because there's two ways she can do this. One, she could come. Jesus is coming in. Hey, I'm unclean, but I gotta touch this guy. And now if that's the case, if I came in this room screaming at you, hey, listen, I'm unclean, don't touch me, what would most of you guys right here do? Listen, I've had a cough for like 3 weeks now. I cough and I see people's faces. They get the hand sanitizer out. Squirt, 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 start doing this number. Me too, I'm with you, I got it. But that's one way this lady could have approached it, isn't it? Sorry, y'all. Forget this. Okay. That's one way this lady could have approached it. She could have said, hey, listen, I'm unclean, but I gotta see this guy. And everybody would have scattered. Everybody would have gone away. And she could have gone and she could have touched this man, because at that point, the hope and all that she had would be realized in front of her, right? And it wouldn't be discouraging if it didn't happen, because at that point, it has to happen. I've gotta see this man and something's gotta happen. But that's not what she does. Instead, she quietly gets through the crowd. Instead, she kind of just sneaks in. She gets a little closer. She gets a little closer and she gets a little closer and she sneaks all the way in and she touches the hem of his garment. Now, there's all kinds of problems in this. What happens to every person in that crowd that she just touched? Because she was deemed unclean by the Levitical law. Now they were deemed unclean as well. But here's what this woman has. If I touch him and it doesn't work, no one has to feel my disappointment. No one has to feel what I feel. No one has to feel that it doesn't work. This didn't work again. This didn't work again. See, if I make the proclamation that I'm coming to touch Jesus and he heals me, great. But if I don't, that disappointment, I don't know that I can handle. So she comes, she touches the hem of his garment. Immediately, Jesus feels power leave him. It's not Jesus is some Duracell battery. There's a point to that. But immediately, Jesus feels the power come out of him. And he looks and he says, who touched me? His disciples say, what do you mean who touched you? You're in the crowd. Look around. Everybody's touching you, Jesus. And then there's this verse. Verse number 32. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Man, y'all, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Why? Because you know how easy it would have been for Jesus to say, you're right. You know what, Peter? Dadgum, Peter, you right. You smart, man. How could I? Who touched me? Look at it. There's a ton of people here. Anybody could have touched me. You know what, John? You're right. It wasn't a mean touch. It was a loving touch. Let's just move on. But Jesus kept looking. Why? This verse, underline, highlight it, take it home, read it over and over and over again today, because this verse changed my whole week, my whole life as I read through this again. Why? Because the personal relationship mattered to Jesus. Because it wasn't enough that, hey, listen, a miracle had happened. It wasn't enough that this woman was, because again, when you read scripture, immediately she was healed. So the healing had taken place. There was no reason to call this woman out, to bring her in front of everyone, to draw attention to what had just happened, except for the fact that the miracle was not the purpose. The relationship was. In my life, it's not just enough that God saved me. I'm a sinner saved by grace, but thank God he didn't just save me from grace and turn me loose. He wanted an ongoing personal relationship with me, and Jesus kept looking for me. Even after he saved me, he said, listen, that's not enough. I want to walk with you. I want to grow with you. I want your faith to become stronger day after day after day. And Jesus kept looking because the relationship to Jesus matters. Some of y'all this morning want to hide in the crowd. You want to hide in the distractions. But you have to know that Jesus is going to keep looking for you because the relationship matters to him. Next, we look at the fact that this woman's confession could have meant death and possibly even more. As you look and you read about what all the Levitical law behind this, in verse 33, it says this, then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came, she fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. She was trembling with fear because when you go back and you read Levitical law, Leviticus chapter 15, starting in verse 19 and going through verse 25, but it says this, when a woman has had her discharge of blood for many days, at a time other than her menstrual period, or if continues beyond her period, she will be unclean all the days of her unclean discharge, just as she is during the days of her menstruation. What's that mean? That means that this woman was unclean. Everything that this woman touched was unclean. I don't know if y'all caught that. Everything that this woman touched becomes unclean. Her pillow that she lays down on, unclean. If she touches a pew is unclean until it can be ceremonially cleansed. Except Jesus. See, because when she touches Jesus, the fear is why she comes trembling, why she comes in fear, why she comes with all that different stuff and tells him the whole truth, gives him the bold confession of this is who I am, this is what happened, and this is why it happened. What could happen, because now she has taken a holy man, a clean man, compromised his cleanliness, his holiness, and brought him down to her level, that could mean death to her. Not only does that mean death to her, but she contaminated the crowd. Remember, she snuck through the crowd. She got all these people as she was going back to Jesus. Every single one of them now is unclean because she became in them. But what happens is so awesome. When Jesus comes, he heals her. He tells her, your faith has made you well. Verse number 34. Yes. Daughter. One of the only very few times Jesus addresses somebody as daughter. Highlight, circle that too, because that's a big deal. Her place mattered to Jesus. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Literally, the words there mean this. You're clean. Not just clean today. You're clean for the future. Your cleanliness, what you've been waiting for, the thing that you have kept you, has caused you to push, has caused you to put up barriers, has caused you to be separated from everybody else. That is no longer an issue. That's removed. It's done. You're clean. So what happens is this. Instead of her uncleanliness being placed on Jesus, Jesus takes his cleanliness, his righteousness, his holiness, and puts it on her. That's the gospel. That's the good news for you and I, because that's what you and I believe, is that our sin, our shame, our guilt, our uncleanliness was taken by Christ. And when you and I come and you say, hey, Jesus, I want to have a relationship with you through your blood, your sacrifice on the cross, what that means is now his righteousness, his purity, his cleanliness is on you. And God sees that when he looks at you. Man, that's good stuff. That's the gospel. That's the great news. That's wonderful. Now, Matthew has a different different kind of telling of the story. And even as I was reading Matthew, because this account is in Matthew, it's in Mark, and it's also in Luke. As I was reading Matthew's account, things kind of got a different picture for me. In Matthew's account, when you read it, it says this: while she was saying that, or while he was saying this, a synagogue elder came up and knelt before him. That's Jairus. My daughter has just died. Anybody notice a difference between Matthew and Mark so far? Matthew, she's dead. Mark, she's dying. Okay? So that kind of got me a little bit. I was like, why the difference? Why is that? Why is there a difference? So I kind of read and I kept reading on it. And it got me thinking, if she is dead, a holy man, a clean man, a man of God brings hope, right? If she's dead, an unclean man, though, just brings more shame. So, regardless of whether or not she was dead when he started coming, or whether she died as he was coming, because Mark's translation then is going to tell you, if you go back and you read in Mark's version, she is dying when he comes, when he starts. After this issue happens with the woman who touches him, Jairus' house comes to him and says, hey, listen, your daughter's dead. Now, if that's the case, Jesus has now been contaminated, if Jesus was contaminated, which he wasn't, because again, his righteousness becomes her cleanliness. But all the officials, everybody comes to Jairus and say, hey, listen, man, Jairus, don't bother him anymore. She's dead. And not only is she dead, but this guy he just got touched by this lady. Is that the kind of person you want to bring into your house? Verse 36. Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. Good words, except that word overhearing. When I read it, I was like, okay, Jesus has good hearing. Cool. But I started looking at that word, and the actual word doesn't just mean overhearing. It means ignoring. Jesus hears what these guys say to Jairus. They say, hey, Jairus, listen, whether it's because he's unclean or because your daughter's already dead and there's no hope for you anymore, now you've done cross from almost hopeless to completely hopeless because your daughter's not just sick anymore, she's dead. Whatever the reason behind it is, these guys come and they say, listen, Jairus, it's not worth it anymore. Jesus hears this, but he ignores it. Stood out in a different way. Why did Jesus ignore it? Because Jesus says, listen, y'all are looking at this all wrong. Because whether all hope is almost gone, all hope is gone, or whatever the situation or circumstances is, when I'm introduced into the situation, hope becomes the reality. And so Jesus says, listen, I don't even have to hear what you say. You're saying it's hopeless. I'm telling you, I don't care. I'm still going, Jairus. I'm still coming to your house. I'm still going to heal your daughter. I'm still going to take care of things. I'm still going to take my cleanliness and place it on you, because it does not matter what you think. It's be what happens because I'm introduced into this situation. Jesus doesn't bring shame. In fact, Jesus brings hope. This hope is interesting too. It's hope that cannot help but overflow. When you read the rest of Luke's translation, Jesus comes, he asks everyone to leave. He has some remarkable words for the daughter. It says, damsel, arise. And she does. She's healed, brought back to life. It's one of the first times we see in Scripture that Jesus has power over death. In Luke's translation, he tells the parents, don't tell anybody about this. Don't say anything to anybody about this. But then in Matthew's translation, you find these words. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took the girl by the hand. She got up. News spread of this through all the region. What's that mean? It means that hope that these parents felt could not stay inside. It couldn't help but overflow from their life. The hope that this woman who had an issue with things overflowing from her life, the hope that she experienced could not be kept inside anymore. That hope overflows out of your life. That hope overflowed out of her life, and everyone in the region heard what Jesus had done for her, a person who was unclean and now was made clean and didn't condemn, didn't judge, didn't do anything like that, but offered forgiveness and healing and making her clean again. The parents who were broken and exhausted because of the sickness and the death of their child become introduced to hope in a great way, and that hope overflows to where everyone in the region hears what they did. And it's the same hope that you and I experience. You know, I have absolutely no clue about this. I don't know anything. I know today is different. I know today is different. I can tell you that. But whether you walk through the doors today thinking that I just got to hold on a little while longer, or you walk through the doors today thinking all hope is lost and I'm done, I'm here to tell you today that there's a man named Jesus Christ who loved you enough that the relationship with you was worth him continuing to look. That's why you're here today. You're not here by accident. You're not here by circumstances. You're not here because you happen to just wake up early and have no place else to go. You're here because this is God calling from eternity to you to say to you, you matter to me. And a relationship with you matters to me. So much so that I want to take my cleanliness and put it on your life. All your sins, all your dirt, all your shame, all your garbage, all the stuff that made you unclean, I'm throwing that out the door because you are going to come to me through my son, through his death on the cross. And when you do that, I see you as clean. Some of y'all have never accepted that truth. You have made it about how you can get to heaven, how you can earn salvation, how you can earn God's love. This morning, some of y'all need to place your faith and trust in Christ alone, for the forgiveness of your sins. Some of you this morning need to experience hope. And so this morning during the invitation, you need to just come and you need to pray. And you say, God, listen, I'm at wit's end. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I got nothing else. And you need to be rejuvenated with the hope of Christ in your life. Some of you are beyond wit's end and you're done. Man, there is hope in Christ for every situation that you're facing. Some of y'all need to let the hope spill out. Some of y'all, because of your sin, because of your shame, or because of other people's sin, or because of other people's shame, have built up barriers and walls and isolated yourself from people. And you've pushed everyone out because you can't let them know where you are, or because you know where they are. And the hope of Christ is not overflowing out of your life like it should. This morning, some of y'all need to tear down barriers. I pray that during this time of invitation, you would be obedient to whatever God wants you to do. God, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for this story from Scripture. Lord, I don't know. I don't get it. But God, you loved me enough to take all my shame, all my sin, to make it clean again. Father, that's the hope that you have for all of us that are here today. And so, Lord, you do what only you can do during this time. Father, help us to be obedient to what you're calling us to do. Lord, thank you for loving us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.